Hello there. Greetings and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, Bill Noel, Tim Kearns, and cast of thousands here this evening as we try to bring you a little sports news on this kind of cold end of March day. Cold, rainy here in New England, and kind of dismal and drismal along with everything else that's going on. But we'll lighten the load here a little bit and bring you some sports stuff that I think will take your mind off stuff, hopefully. And if not, that's okay, too. A lot to talk about here this evening, and welcome once again. We've been doing this, I believe, since 06, Tim and I have. So we've been doing this for a while, amazingly enough, and appreciate your listening in. I'm Rick Moore, as I said, and we have a whole bunch of people here lined up this evening. Let me see. I just have to log into my editing page here so we can make sure that we update stuff. Lots of information tonight, lots of interviews, talking with our usual characters as well. Let me just, I'm sorry. I'll be done in 1 second here. Password, there we go. Okay, now I got my editing page. All right. So tonight, let's see here. We're going to be talking to a bunch of people. Bill Newell will be checking in with the Lynn English High School Director of Athletics, Dick Newton, has a lot of information to impart, even though there is not a lot going on right now, trying to keep up with this stuff with the shutdowns in school going on until, what is it, the first or second week of May or something like that? We'll get more on that anyway. I'm not even sure. So much stuff has been coming at us in the last couple of days, but I know that the school hiatus has been extended beyond the school vacation. So that will continue. We'll be talking to some people tomorrow as well on Connections about how that's going to go and what people can expect from kids being at home. Later on tonight, after I talk with Triton High School hockey coach Ryan Sheehan about the fantastic year that the Vikings had, he's going to introduce me to Brad Killian, his leading scorer, and then we'll talk with Brad right after that and see what's going on among seniors, not only at Triton High School, but also all over, because just a terrible time for those who had made plans for senior year, especially last term senior year. It's what you look forward to your whole high school career, actually your whole school experience. You always look forward to that, you know, that May and June time of your senior year. So we'll talk with Brad, see what he's got to tell us. And then Bill will be checking in with a couple of high school basketball standouts from the Beverly Boys basketball team of Duncan Moreland and Jack Crowley, two outstanding players, just missing state championship mark here this year in Division One. Division Two, I'm sorry. Lynn English is the champs from Division One. So we'll check in with those guys as well. And then we'll have Gary Larrabee. Gary will be talking. Gary said he's got plenty of stuff to talk about with respect to golf, and we'll see what Gary has to say as well and catch up with things there. Gary, of course, a sports historian and golf writer big time. And to round it out, we'll see what's on Tim Kearns' mind. Tim will be talking with us a little bit about clearing out the sports attic, I guess, and see what he has to talk about. Obviously, the major leagues all not operating at this time, and a lot of talk about how cheap the Bruins ownership is, and I don't know if other teams and other sports have stepped up. We talked about a couple of guys, Zion Williamson and Kevin Love in the NBA came up big time supporting the staffs at their arenas where they play, and I know that Brad Marchand started he started a GoFundMe page for the Boston Garden workers, and he donated $1,000. And so far, as of yesterday or Friday, I'm not sure which it was, there were $42,000 in that account. So I don't know what's going on with respect to that stuff, but I know that I've read about the Bruins, billionaire owners, Jacob's family there, and not looking too good at this point in terms of taking care of their own. Anyway, that's part of what we'll be talking about, I suppose, but we're going to try to bring it closer to home for the most part. So we will take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we'll be checking in with Ryan Sheehan. He's the Triton High School hockey coach, and see what's going on there, how their plans have been tabled, and even if they got to see if they got their banquet in, because all this broke right during the time of the state championships, when the state championship games were being played or should have been played in the MIAA tournaments. So we'll come back and see what that's all about. This is North Shore Sports Night. This is the last Monday in March 2020, and needless to say, we are in the middle of a historic event. I was going to say once in a lifetime, but it's even more than that. It's bigger than that. This is a major Earth event, and so we are all participating in that and trying to keep our heads above water. Be right back.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcasts, the North Shore's podcast leader for both news and sports features, connecting you to the North Shore.
Alrighty then, we are back now with Triton High School hockey coach Ryan Sheehan. And coach, welcome back to MSO. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I don't know. We're surviving, man. What a crazy time. First of all, Ryan, I want to talk about the good times. You guys had a spectacular year. Ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw against Lincoln Sudbury, but I'm guessing that despite the foul mouth, the foul taste in your mouth of that night, that's kind of gone by the wayside, and you guys have reflected upon what a fabulous season you've had.
Yeah, I think so. And you're right, there was definitely a buzzsaw. They were probably the best team we played all year. It's fortunate that we couldn't get to see them play Canton, because I think that would have been a great game to see. But we had a great year. And like I said last time we talked, it was, it's a result of the leadership and the chemistry of the team, and I did, an enjoyable year hopefully had by all.
Now, coach, with all that's transpired since then with this emergency that we're under, have you guys had a breakup dinner? Did you have a banquet?
Yeah, we did. So our last game was Monday. We played Monday night, and our banquet was on the following Thursday, and then pretty much after Thursday night, that's when they started shutting everything down, because then Sunday was the state championship games, and we had heard that they were okay, and so that's kind of when it all spiraled out of control, like it is now.
Yeah, it's crazy. So what have you talked with? Have you talked with the kids since this broke, or you haven't seen them since the banquet?
I've talked to the seniors that just graduated. They were done with hockey, and we just were shooting texts back and forth about how much we miss hockey, especially now, and just being together and stuff like that, because, you miss everything right now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you guys are going to look back on this, because it's so historic. You're going to look back on this, and this will have been, I'm sure, some kind of a bonding episode for you. It's a special team and a special time.
Right.
And you guys are all going to remember this, all the kids and you as well, but especially I would think the seniors.
Right. And the beginning of the year, we said that the team, one of the assistant coaches who came in, this was his first year with us, and he's a great guy, Bob Hawks is his name, And he said, "We have something special here." And I, you know, and he said, "I just feel it." He goes, "There's something special." Mm-hmm. And it was a special year hockey-wise. And then, like you said, it ends. You know, we played as many possible games as anyone could play this year because the final game was canceled. And, you know, it's special. Everyone's going to remember that. And special in kind of a bad way, but...
Well, it won't be a bad. It won't be a bad memory down the road. Of course, it is right now. But you know, I want to go back to the Winthrop game. I talked with Coach Dunbar last week, and he was effusive in what a great hockey game that was.
Oh, great game! That was a great game. That was probably the most nervous we were as a coaching staff because we just they played great. You know, their goalie was playing very well. We didn't generate a ton of offense, and it, you know, came down to the wire, 1-0 game. I don't think we expected it to be 1-0, but
right.
But yeah, that was every single one of them was a 1-goal game except for our last one, and you know those type of times they're exciting. The one and duns are great to watch. They're great to be a part of. They're emotional, and Winthrop was definitely a well coached team and. Definitely gave us all we could handle.
Tell me about that goal, Coach, because I didn't get to that game, and Coach Dunbar said you guys got it on the first shift. Is that right?
First shift of the game, like 13 seconds. No, probably like 35 seconds in. Just a shot from the point hit actually the shaft of Brad Killian's stick, you know, just kind of waved in front of it as he was flash screening right in front of the goalie, and it tipped and it went right over, you know, unstoppable for the goalie because it was just a crazy tip that went up, you know, right up over his shoulder and in the net, and you know, that was the only goal of the game.
I love the way you guys can see this and then describe it to the unwashed like myself. I mean, I got a great picture of that. That's pretty amazing. Coach, tell me a little.
It was in the far end. We had a great view of it.
Okay.
And, you know, we didn't expect it to be the only goal of the game. Like I said, we didn't expect it to be a 1-0 game. Who does? But, no, our defense played fantastic all year. Our goalie played great all year. So, you know, that leads to winning those 1-goal games.
I'm guessing one other highlight would have been the final time that you faced Masquinomet, because that was for all the marbles, and you came up with a win on that one again.
Yeah, I love Coach Jackson. He's a great guy, but he must really hate Triton right now because you know has my number anyways in my year as a coach and. Against him, but you know, unfortunately, we have, or fortunately for us, we have their number in the state tournament. And that was a great game as well. You know, back and forth. You know, one goal game, pretty much the whole entire game went into overtime against Tucker, who's tough to beat. And you know, it was just emotional high when we won that one. It was great.
Ryan, before I ask you about Brad Killian, what's the plan now, or is there a plan? I mean, what do you generally do after the season ends? You talk with your seniors, and then, of course, I imagine some of your kids will go on or would have gone on to play baseball, and they'll play football in the fall. So what generally do you do when the season is over?
I'm in touch with usually a group of seniors, captains, or, you know, potential captains, and we, you know, they're really good at organizing, and we've been good at organizing workouts over the summer. And it's tough in hockey. You know, we have a midget team that'll play together, but it's not everyone. And some of the kids play their own metro teams and their own select teams and stuff, which is great. You know, play as much as you want. You know, to go play baseball if you want to. Like Tyler Godfrey plays, you know, I don't think he picks up a hockey stick until the, you know, beginning of the fall, and he's one of our best players, so... You know, it's kind of, you know, stay active, stay competitive, get bigger, faster, stronger, and, mm-hmm. you know, however that may be. And, you know, we just like to stay in touch and make sure that everyone's doing the right thing.
Now, Brad is a first-team Cape Ann League All-Star, your leading scorer, I guess. Tell me about him.
Brad's one of the nicest kids that, you know, I've coached, and I mean that because... You know, he's pretty much in a good mood. You know, he's very respectful, and coaches across the league will tell you that. And on the ice, he's a beast. He's a beast. He's probably, I don't even know his real measures, but he's, I'd say 6'2", 200 and 10 pounds. You know, he can, you know, carry guys to the net. He's got good hands. He's got a good slap shot. You know, he definitely found his way to the net this year. And he played with Sam Rennick last year, so he wasn't the focal point of his line. He would be the guy who went in corners and won the puck, and he'd get it to Sammy, and Sammy would find a way to score, and he was, but this year Brad was a focal point, and he was finding the puck himself, taking it from that himself, score, you know. Mm-hmm. He was a pleasure to watch. He was a pleasure to see grow, you know, in the 4 years of playing at Triton. So
now, is he a captain?
He was a captain.
Yeah, because he sounds like a natural leader there, Coach, from all, the way you describe him.
Great kid. And I just remember a few games, whether, you know, one goal game or some a game that we definitely needed a goal. And actually, I think it was Wellesley, and I looked at the other assistant coach, Mark, and I said, he's willing it. And we're both looking at each other. He's willing it. And guys are on his back, and all of a sudden it's him and the goalie in the net and the puck in the net. And I'm like, yeah, guys, he just willed that one. You know, that wasn't pretty. Nothing was pretty about that, but he willed that one.
Yeah, you knew it was coming. That's cool. Hey, Ryan, listen, I wish you the best of luck for the summer. And obviously, you and your family be safe. And thank you for letting me chat with Brad. I'm going to give him a call in just a second here.
Absolutely, Rick. Thanks a lot. You be safe as well.
All right, Coach. Take care. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Very good. That is Ryan Sheehan, Triton High School hockey coach, and we're going to be talking with his captain here very shortly. Good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, right after we take a break, okay? So we'll be back. This is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we are back now with the man, Brad Killian. You just heard Coach Sheehan talking about him. Brad, welcome to MSO. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Very well. You know, I'm glad to hear the optimism from your voice. You know what? I was just talking with Coach about lamenting about what you seniors are going through, and we'll get to that in a second. But first, congratulations on a super year. We're gonna not even talking about Lincoln Sudbury, but you guys had a fantastic season and a fantastic playoff. And I'm wondering, what's the first memory that comes to your mind, Brad, in terms of whether it's a game, whether it's playing with your teammates or whatever?
Yeah, definitely a lot of great memories there. Every really. My favorite one by far was probably the Wilmington game. It was the second insane game. Every playoff game was insane. Obviously, the last one was a little disappointing, but that was an awesome one. And then beating Masco again for the second year in a row was definitely a good feeling.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. And Coach Dunbar, Winthrop, I was talking with him last week, and he didn't swear at you because he's not that kind of guy. But, man, you put a pin in Winthrop's balloon. That must have been a great game, too.
Yeah, another awesome game, a one-goal game. We scored like 30 seconds in. It was crazy. And then the rest of the game, just nothing happened. But It was a good game.
Tell me about your line mates, how you played with them, how you developed the chemistry over the year.
Yeah, they were awesome. The whole team, we all worked together in practice, got better. James Tatro and Kale Cohan, I played with them for the last, like, 15 games or so of the season. And we had special chemistry going. Obviously, we've played together for years,
mm-hmm.
almost through all through youth and high school. It's been awesome.
All right, well, let's talk about your senior year, and let's talk about where you are right now. First of all, what were you taking for courses? I'm a math teacher, and Tim Kearns, my partner, is a social studies teacher. What was your favorite course so far this year?
I'm a big fan of business law.
That's
a fun class for me. I enjoyed it. I like debating with my classmates. It's pretty fun.
Cool.
But yeah, right now I'm definitely Never thought I'd say it, but I'm definitely missing school a little bit. Miss my friends, going there every day.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Of course.
Trying to stay positive.
Well, you sound very upbeat, man, and I congratulate you for that. But let's presume that things were going normal here. What would you be doing in the fall? Have you picked your school yet, or where you're going, or have they picked you?
Yeah, so next year I'm going to Dalhousie University, which is in Nova Scotia, Canada. So I'm heading up north.
And are you a skier?
I am. I'm not a skier, actually. So okay. I spend my summers on Prince Edward Island.
Both
my brothers went up to school there, so I'm gonna do the same. Hopefully, play hockey, whether it's club or junior, something. They have it all up there.
What do you want to study?
I want to get into business. Something in business.
Okay. Or business law. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I get it. Okay. Now let's talk about what's going on now. This obviously, it's got to be a killer. I know that you had plans, your family had plans, you still have plans, I'm guessing, for graduation and so on. But what do you talk about with your teammates, your classmates, about what's going on? Because, what's your day like now?
Yeah, well, the days are pretty repetitive. Just wake up late, get to sleep in, which is nice, but, a lot of staying inside. I've been trying to go for runs when I go outside, working out at home, obviously. A lot of Xbox has been played.
yeah. music? You listen to music?
Music?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit here and there. But yeah, I'm definitely missing the school year. Obviously, what's going on is terrible. I want to thank everyone on the front lines doing what they're doing.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
What about and finally, is there a plan for remote long distance learning, or is it the plan right now the school just leaving you alone with the idea of getting back to school in May?
So yeah, right now it's enrichment work, so it's not mandatory, but just doing what we can. Really, it's difficult, but. Hopefully we go back May 4th. We'll see what happens. But yeah, it's definitely a sad time.
Uh-huh.
I think we'll get through it. I'm positive.
Oh, and this is going to be quite a memory for you guys. This is going to make your class even closer, no doubt about it. But the main thing is to stay safe. I'm guessing family's okay. Everybody's all right.
Yep. Everything's all healthy.
Excellent. Brad, nice meeting you, man. I wish you the best. Coach talks the world of you, and you've done Triton proud. So keep doing it. Good luck, and you know, stay safe.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Take care, Brad.
Thank you. You too.
Yep, that is Brad Killian, who is captain of Triton Hockey. And this is the generation that's going to save us. All right, we're a little beyond time where I should be. Quick break, and then we'll come right back with Bill Newell's interview. His first interview. We'll be right back.
From Beverly Basketball, Duncan Moreland and Jack Crowley are joining us here in a historic year for Beverly Basketball. Duncan and Jack, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. I am going to struggle to find out, to hear which voice is which here on the conference call here, But, gentlemen, let me start with you, Jack. What have you guys been doing the last couple of weeks without any school?
Well, we began some work online, stuff like that, but just trying to find somewhere to play basketball, really, just outside or, you know, just relaxing, nothing really. It's hard to do anything, honestly.
Duncan, how about yourself?
Besides schoolwork, I've kind of just been relaxing. I have a gym in my basement, so I've kind of just been hitting that recently, so. Working out and doing schoolwork, I guess.
Yeah, isolating in the gym. Not bad. Sounds good. However, as seniors, though, I mean, it's got to be hitting home a little bit. You don't know how long this is going to go, but definitely there's some concerning things as students, you know, not being in school, you know, at this point of the year.
Yeah, no, I feel like we're definitely missing out on a lot of stuff, but, you know, there's not much we can do about it. It's just better this way.
Well, I want to ask you guys about the season. In a historic season for Beverly, most wins in a Beverly season, going to winning a North title,
obviously playing at the Boston Garden, things like that. And Jack, you end up being the rebound record holder for Beverly basketball, and Duncan, a 1,000-point scorer in your career at Beverly High School. So, Jack, let me just start with you, and kind of now that you've had a few weeks to let this whole thing sink in, and it's been about two and a half weeks. What are your thoughts finally on the what really turned out to be a great season for you guys?
It was amazing. Not only did we get to where we wanted to go, it was just a great team, just like, everyone's brothers. It was just such a good bond. We worked really hard this year. We had at the beginning of the year, talent-wise, we worked really hard, and we were able to reach our goals, and, two and a half weeks later, and I'm still so happy about everything that happened,
Duncan?
Oh, yeah, it was just a great season, really, one of the best in Beverly's history, if not the best, and it was just a great feeling to be a part of the team and just the culture that Beverly basketball is going in. It's awesome.
No, absolutely, and the best season ever for Beverly basketball, for sure. And the other thing is that I want you to mention some of your teammates, and I'm going to ask you maybe about a game or two defining games, but you guys, what, both 6'3", 6'2", somewhere in that neighborhood, and, you've complimented each other, for quite a few years now on the court, but I guess maybe share a little bit about how you feel you've either evolved this year finally, or, how this year was different from previous years as far as the two of you working together.
Well, I feel like our chemistry has just come up since our fifth grade years, and we just work off each other, and just our senior year came, and we just balled out together and had a great year, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, for sure. This year, we definitely knew what we wanted to do, and, me and Duncan have been playing together so long, we know we're always going to be out on the court, it's just a really good chemistry, and, this year, we were able to do what we wanted to do.
I look at good basketball teams or good high school basketball teams, and you don't always win the same way night after night, and when you win a game, the first half can look a lot different than the second half. But one of the things that really stands out with you two is that one of you could be having a monster half, and then the other one of you could be having a monster second half in a game. Or worst case scenario for your opponents, you're both having monster halves together. You know what I'm saying? But it is interesting how games do play out, and they are different from half to half or even quarter to quarter.
Well, you could see that in the Belmont game, really. Jack went off in the first half, and then I took the torch, I guess, in the second half, and you can't really stop two players like that when they're just both having a hot night.
Yeah.
When we know who's having a better night and, who's shooting the ball well, we're going to feed them, We just, that's how it is. That's how we win games. Everyone, was ready to score when they needed to.
Was there a statement game for either one of you guys, not individually, but as a team? I look back at the game you guys had over in Classical with Austin Ayer chiming in and having a big game, stepping up, coming in and playing well for you guys. It's kind of a pretty good game for you guys because you won so convincingly that night. But what are some games that kind of stand out for you? Duncan, I'll go to you first.
The biggest game this year that stands out for us, I guess, I would have to say the Belmont game, because I feel like that was the best game we played the whole season. We just all clicked as a team, and we were just making every shot. And they were supposed to beat us, I guess, as everyone was telling us that they're the better team and everything, but we just came into the UMass Lowell Center and just kind of killed it that night.
Jack?
Yeah, no, Belmont was definitely a huge game just because, I always remember that game because everyone was so locked in and everyone was so ready. We wanted it so bad. We'd worked so hard and got to that point. But, that Classic game is definitely a good game. Austin steps up, and just show what he's capable of. He's a beast. He's going to really go off next year. And, in games like Marblehead when they put the triangle in two on me and Duncan, and guys like Treston and Bray, you stepped up, Damian, Justin, they were all shooting their shot, scoring, Just like those games show our overall team, how we won them together,
And then you, I know you've dropped in a bunch of names there, and Duncan, feel free to come back. But how about Gabe Copeland coming in and against Burlington in Tewksbury that night? He had a great game.
Yeah, he had a great game that night. Me and Jack were both having off nights that night. I think we had 10 points each or something. But Gabe was just able to step up and just have a great game for us to make us move on in the tournament.
Yeah, no, he's, you know, he's a dog. You know, he's has so much confidence out there. You know, he's a great shooter, and, you know, he's got a bright future for sure.
Maybe as a parting comment or two from you guys, tell us your plans for next year. Jack, what do you have planned or possibly planned for next year?
I'm going to be going to Worcester State, and I'm going to be playing basketball there.
Mm-hmm. And Duncan, how about yourself?
I'm playing football at UNH next year.
Gotcha. Okay. That's right. A great football player as well for Beverly High.
Yeah.
And I guess any other final thoughts from you guys on the season? You know, it's kind of a parting shot. Jack, I'll go to you and then on to Duncan. Just on this great 2019-2020 season for Beverly.
Yeah, no, I just want to thank everyone that was a part of it. You know, it was just an excellent coaching staff. You know, Coach K, Coach Downey, Coach Russo, Coach Ty, you know, they're all great coaches. You know, we couldn't have done it without them. You know, just an excellent year for Beverly basketball. You know, I'm really proud of everyone, and I had an amazing time. You know, it's something I won't forget.
Yep. Kind of like Jack was saying, just we couldn't have done it without the coaches we had, Coach K, all of them. And it's just, it's sad to come to an end, but it was great season, and I'm glad to leave my basketball career on TD Garden floor, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, not too many kids can say that for sure. Well, congratulations to you both. I've really enjoyed watching you, as so many folks in Beverly have enjoyed it as well, Beverly basketball. So, Jack and Duncan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yep. Duncan Moreland, Jack Crowley, Beverly basketball. They were the Twin Towers for many years with the Panthers.
All right, thank you very much, Bill, and thank you, boys. So that's the high school side of it, and the kids sound pretty resilient and sound upbeat, both in hockey and basketball. I'm going to turn our attention now to golf, the scene, and what's happening or what's not happening, and we're going to bring in our expert, Gary Larrabee. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Rick.
All right. We're weathering the storm here on this side of the bridge. How about you guys over on the south side of the bridge?
We are doing as well, although, you know, it's been for us golf crazies, it's you know, it's been a bittersweet start to the season. Back in the early March, we had the earliest golf season in 10 years and one of the earliest golf seasons on history. And then, of course, the coronavirus struck us, and all the golf courses are now closed, and all the tours are not playing, as we discussed a little bit last week, and it's been painful. We've got, you know, five or six fine young college players who are not able to finish their spring seasons, you know, particularly Stephen DeLizio, who's a senior at Duke and is definitely gearing up for a run as a playing professional. I feel very bad for those people, but we just have to move on. And, you know, if all goes well with Governor Charlie Baker's current edict, which allows the golf courses to open up as of today, next week, actually, on April 8th. I think that he's going to extend that edict and keep the golf courses closed. You know, things are getting worse, not better, around here. And it's just the way golf is. And, you know, I feel bad also for someone like Rob Oppenheim from Andover and Salem, who's had a pretty fair start to the PGA Tour season. He's in 119th place right now in the FedEx Cup standings. He's won over $300,000. But, you know, his season is being curtailed. They're not going to resume until the last week, I believe, in May to play in Fort Worth before they go up to hopefully play at Jack Nicklaus's course, the Memorial. But, of course, it certainly looks right now like all that's not going to happen. The Masters is not going to be played next week. The Players Championship is not going to be was not played last month. I should say earlier this month. The PGA Championship will not be played in August. I should say May, not August.
Right, right.
But right now, everything is up in the air. We just want to, of course, the bottom line is we'd like to get back on the golf course, and even though the weather's not ideal right now, the fact is there would be people playing, and the turf is ready to be played. The greens are fine, public and private courses both, and, you know, golf around here is a big money industry. Lots of jobs. Lots of recreational opportunities, you know, clubhouse activity, restaurants, bars, and that's another part of the story.
Yeah, that's a huge part of the story as well. I mean, you mentioned some of the individuals that you know of, and the misfortune in terms of being able to compete, but all the peripheral stuff, all the support staff of all these places. I'm thinking of the greenskeepers and the landscaping businesses, among others, the people who work in the clubhouses. My goodness, this thing just goes on and on and on and on. And I'm wondering, Gary, I mean, pro sports, I wonder what it's going to look like. I mean, are you going to get the galleries back? Are you going to get people in the arenas back? I mean, what do you think?
I think the golf fans, the baseball fans, the basketball fans, hockey fans, they will be so hungry to have action after all these. It's going to be a long-term delay, what it is right now, a long-term postponement, a long-term suspension. And I'll tell you, Rick, a lot of people feel that the schools are not going to get back into action. They're talking right now of trying to get the schools back in action and maybe getting some spring sports played, not golf, but spring sports played in May and June, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I think this virus is just going to be too long term, and they can't take any chances, and that's the way you have to do it. And if we miss a year of a lot of this stuff, so be it. But that's why this is going to be a year to remember.
Yeah.
No Olympics, and it's just... But we'd love to get on the golf course. The golf course is a pretty safe place.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the big concern is the golf so much as it is what typically takes place before the golf or after the golf.
Right.
A lot of socializing.
Right. Right. I think
done there at the golf course or done elsewhere. And I think that's the main reason why they're keeping golf shut down here in Massachusetts and in most states. And it's just a long time drawn out issue, and you know, we've just had a big outbreak here. I'm a Danvers boy. I live across the Danvers Wenham border in Wenham, and we just had a terrible, you know, terrible news broke today of 8 COVID-19 cases at one of the nursing homes in Danvers.
Yeah, yeah.
Which hits home pretty bad, even though it's a confined setting. Somebody obviously brought that virus into the nursing home. And that tells us that there were some people walking around with a virus right here in our neck of the woods.
Yep.
Danvers, Beverly, Wenham, and God knows where it's going to go the next few weeks.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're going to find out. We're going to find out people who probably aren't exhibiting symptoms are indeed carrying it and have it. But, you know, they said it's going to get worse before it gets better. But I think we have to it seems to me that Governor Baker has instilled and installed, you know, some pretty decent guidelines. And I think people are adhering to them, and hopefully that will slow this thing down.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
But right now we have to be optimistic. We have to, at the same time, play by the rules and keep your family together in your home, in your apartments, in your condos, wherever you are, and spend a lot of family time together. Do some reading, do some writing, do schoolwork if you're in a position to. Do your work if you're do your work from home.
Yep.
At the same time, a person like me who's semi-retired, I've been enjoying a lot of good old-fashioned vintage golf tournament stuff on good old YouTube and and elsewhere, and that's, you know, part of it, although, of course, I do start up my Salem News Golf columns on Friday. And
oh, good. All right.
Hopefully we'll get a little bit of get our folks fired up, at least to be getting ready you know, for what will be hopefully an abbreviated golf season, and at the same time talk about some very special people in the golf community and some good memories of golf around here in past years.
All right, and I know you've got a lot of words that have to come out and put on the paper, so look forward to that. And that, you say that starts this week on Friday?
Yes, thank you for that shameless plug.
No, I'm looking forward to it, man. It's I'm reading a lot more than I used to do, so, you know, give me something that I have to pay attention to. And I know Kearns will be looking at it as well. I'll be talking with Tim in a while here. Any final thoughts, Gare?
Well, you know, this is a real reality, and another dose of reality came to the surface last week with news that Davis Love Jr.'s beautiful home in Sea Island Plantation down in Georgia had burned to the ground. Completely unrelated to the coronavirus, but the fact remains he lost his beautiful home down there, and remarkably, miraculously, there was no one home at the time of the fire. It was an overnight fire, but at least be aware it was a multi-million-dollar home, and Davis Love is grateful that there was no one in the house at the time.
Well, it reminds you that, you know, as you said, the new reality, life is real and stuff happens. All right, let's hope for a better week this coming week, and we'll have some good news to impart next week.
Indeed, and most important, I mean, we were supposed to have a fantastic We Met Fund dinner that raises over $1 million. That was supposed to come up on Thursday night, and that's not going to happen. So you just have to keep going, as you said, be optimistic, be safe, be smart, and we'll hopefully talk some good stuff next week.
Yeah, eventually we'll be able to hit the start button again after being on pause for so long. Gare, the main thing is, you know, you and your family, please be safe, and let's talk again Monday.
Yours as well, and keep the faith.
Thank you, Gare. You as well. Take care.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, bye-bye. That is Gare Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, his first column on golf will be in the Salem News starting up on Friday, so I look forward to that. All righty then, so we'll be right back with Bill Newell talking with the Lynn English Director of Athletics. Then we're going to close it out with Tim Kearns in just a bit.
Dick Newton, Athletic Director at Lynn English High School, is joining us. Dick, welcome, and good to be talking with you, and I hear you're doing well.
Yes, sitting in my living room, watching TV, and I'm glad I got the chance to talk to you.
Dick, I want to begin by, before we talk about spring sports, you're a former baseball player at Lynn English High School, college baseball coach here on the North Shore, more on that in a moment. But what a successful winter it was for Lynn English High basketball, both the boys and the girls this year.
Yeah, the boys are repeated as state champs, and the girls, you know, come a long way. The girls 4 years ago were cellar dwellers. They were last place, and we really didn't know what direction the program was going to go. And the girls and Mackenzie Childs, the coach, really brought them back, and they won their side of the league. And they've done a great job, and so we're happy about that. And the boys, you know, what can I say about the boys? They've made history at Lynn English High School, winning two state championships in a row, and we're going to really miss the guys that are graduating.
Yeah, really a great group, and really, as you mentioned, two state titles. So that was the first state title ever a year ago, right? So it was, you know, really history being made.
Yeah, when you win a state title in a sport, everybody starts digging to see where you won it last. And they were talking like 80 years ago, and I don't know, I had never heard of us winning the state championship, but it's nice and really nice. And the thing is these kids that you know, the John L. and Mason, John Baptiste, and John Baptiste Mukiba, and Jack Rodriguez, great guys, just really, really nice kids, quality kids. Never in trouble in school. They do well in school, and they're the kind of kid that you miss when they graduate.
Yeah, I did some coverage of college basketball in my younger years, and I kind of liken this program to the college programs. I know I've kind of said they act very mature. They're very articulate, and they love the game, and they work hard at it.
How to behave and how to conduct themselves with guys like you. And in school, and how to be successful. And Antonio Anderson does a great job, and in doing that with these guys. He's, when they get out of line in school, he sits them on the bench. He doesn't hesitate. He's willing to take one for the team if these kids don't do exactly the way what he wants them to do. So it's a tribute to Antonio, too.
We're talking with the Dick Newton, athletic director at Lynn English High. Dick, baseball, let's update the listeners on where we're at with the MIAA, with possible spring sports, but it's but school can't come back until now, basically the 1st of May at the absolute earliest.
Yeah, I'm not very optimistic with any spring sports. But being a baseball guy, I look at baseball, and they're telling us right now it's May 4th. That means you can't play a game until May 11th. I'm not a fan of cramming games together and not really having much pitching, and the games get out of hand, and then you have rain coming into it, and I just don't like the idea of shortened seasons. It's not something I would look forward to. There has been talk about putting something together with the Cape Ann League and having a little round robin. That's been talked about. We have a meeting, virtual meeting tomorrow, to talk about stuff like this. But I would be very surprised if first we even went back to school, and secondly, especially if we had a season. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, there is some MIAA rules about once school does come back that you need a certain number of days of practice. I know they shortened that down, but still.
Yeah, it's amazing when they're really adamant about it when there's not something like this going on. But it's amazing how immediately it doesn't matter how many days you practice. You can go from 11 days, if that's what it usually is, to 7 days. And I don't know. I just think that trying to stuff 10, 11 games, 8 games into 3 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever you're going to do, I'm just not a big fan of that. I think if you're not in school first thing, you're not going to play, and I think that's the way what's going to happen.
The other thing, too, is they were talking about if they came back around the 1st of May for workouts and started the season, then they could get in the playoffs in the month of June. They have 3 weeks to do the playoffs in June. But I'm wondering if that is what you're hearing now, is that's even becoming less and less likely, MIAA playoffs in June?
Yeah, the rumor is that, you know, they were going to have the season end June 10th and have the playoffs go from June 10th to June 20th. I think that got nixed when it got, that was when the deadline was going to be April 27th, we could start. But since it's been moved to May 4th, you can't play till May 11th. I mean, how do you have a state tournament? I mean, I don't know. It's just unfair. And I'm more concerned about whether or not the kids are going to have graduation. That's been talked about too. Are they going to be able to have a graduation? So. I don't know. I think baseball, for the most part, you know, you got to look at the logistics of it, too. They have to have physicals turned in, and all the, you know, kids haven't been able to go to their doctor to get a physical. So how do you allow a kid to play if he hasn't had a physical all year? There's a lot of things that they haven't taken into consideration. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But from what you hear, the cases haven't even reached its peak yet. And, you know, we're already into, what, April 1st will be. But tomorrow, the next day. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Dick, I actually just looked at the calendar today. There are 31 days in March. So we do have April coming up this week, a couple of days. Yeah.
April's coming, right? What is it? April's? It was a Tuesday, April is, right?
No, Wednesday. Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's what happens when you get stuck in your house for 3 weeks. You lose track of what day it is.
No, you're right. At least it's Monday. We know that, right? Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dick, last question for you might be, there are a lot of things that people on the outside may, and I'll include myself on this, may not realize that this long delay and what could happen that we just talked about, how it impacts the athletes themselves or their future plans. And so we think about the seniors, yeah, that you just touched on a few things that seniors have to worry about, but the juniors are missing out or very well could be missing out on a spring sports season, and that's important for their recruitment as well later on.
Yeah, the sophomores and juniors, you know, you feel bad for the seniors because they're going to miss their senior year and all of that. But I'll give you an example how it impacts you. We have a senior. I'm not going to mention his name, but he needed to get a waiver. He was a fifth year kid. He went back to the Dominican Republic for 2 years. His parents moved back, and then they moved back here. So we applied for a waiver, and he was denied. And we had to take it to the next level, and they said they're not going to do any more waivers. So does that kid just not get to play? I mean, is that how it's going to work? Those are the things. Other things are SATs. You know, we have kids that come in from other countries that need to take the SATs their senior year because they haven't been able to take them as a sophomore and junior because they weren't here, and they got canceled. So, you know, what happens to a guy like that? There's a lot of, you know, variables, that a lot of things that affect kids, and you have to take that into consideration. It's just a sad case, but you know, people being healthy is probably the most important thing. So that's, you know, that's what we're looking forward to. Nobody's been in the school, nobody's been practicing, nobody's allowed to be on a park. So I don't know. I don't think that, just, you know, when they say go ahead, everybody's going to just jump in and start playing. There's a lot to it. There's a, you know, getting in shape. There's kids need to be able to throw, get their arms in shape. The kid's not going to pitch, you know, come in and throw right away in a game and expect to be healthy. You need time to develop these things. And, you know, I mean, normally you get 11 days. So you basically have 2 weeks. And kids are always throwing in the school, you know, week or two, or outside when the weather's good. They haven't been able to do that. So, I don't know. I'm not, you know, you can call me a pessimist, but I just don't see it. I just don't see spring sports happen. I don't see that coming to fruition, as they would say.
Dick, as a longtime assistant under Ron Bennett, baseball coach at Lynn English, legendary coach, and then as a head coach at Marblehead Baseball, you know, any other thoughts about, you kind of touched on it, but if in fact the season were to start, I mean, what does a coach have to do differently this year than in past years?
Well, the most important, I think, is pitching. I mean, they put in a pitch count this year. They went to Federation rules, so you have a pitch count. So if you have four or five games bunched in together, you're definitely going to run out of pitching, and you're going to have games that are 15 to 14 and 18, that there's, you know, the discrepancy in teams being ready. And I, you know, to me, it's pitching. Hitting is the easy part. Fielding a ground ball is fielding a ground ball. That's just repetition. But getting your arms in shape and being able to pitch seven innings in a week, less than a week, because, you know, when you talk about rain, and you have to take that into consideration, it's just very different. You can't play any exhibition games because you're not going to have time. And it's just stuffing everything in a week is a lot to ask, I think. But you got to do what you got to do. If it happens, it happens. You know, but there's just, when you know, tennis is different. You go out and hit a tennis ball back and forth. What else? Track, you're running track. But baseball is very, very different than all the sports that you have in the spring. And everything's outside, so they haven't taken into consideration if it rains.
All right, Dick, always good talking with you. Stay safe, and thanks for all these insights. And, well, let's hope that it does happen, but we want to be safe as well.
Yes, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Dick Newton, the athletic director at Lynn English High School.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. We turn it over now to Tim Kearns, our MSO super analyst and ambassador of goodwill. Coach, how you doing?
Awful, Rick. Just awful.
It's just awful, I know. Well, you know, there's some really, you know, it's funny. We look for sports, I think, sports and entertainment, whether they be books or music or live or whatever, sometimes as an escape, as an outlet. And I know that in different things, different times, different emergencies and stuff like that, you know, in particular 9/11 and then, you know, the marathon bombing, we had sports to turn to as just an outlet, I guess, for want of a better word. And not having that right now just sort of like makes it all the worse. I mean, obviously, we're concerned about, most concerned about safety and people's good health. But while you're shut home, it used to, you know, you could look at a football game or a baseball game or whatever, and it's just kind of weird. It's just a weird time.
Yeah, you think back to 9/11 and the aftermath, and the discussions of, you know, should the games be played, And a lot of the talk was, yeah, we needed to get back into that regular mode of living and our habits, and how important those games were, and how the beginnings of those games took place, and the patriotism that came about, and the energy and the spirit that took place in baseball games. Again, doing the exact same thing, and so we saw this resurgence of life very, very quickly. Now it's you can't go out. We're getting more and more shelter in place, shutting down, contrary to popular dictates of the leadership of the country. And the states are just saying, don't go anywhere, don't go out. People are realizing that people that they know have been impacted or diagnosed with COVID, and they're having to self-quarantine. My wife and I among them. We found out over the weekend that a very good friend of ours the past week had tested and been diagnosed with the virus. So we contacted a friend who's a nurse, and she suggested, yes, do the self-quarantine. So that's what we're doing for the next week and a half is self-quarantining. And we hadn't seen the individual for 2 weeks, but rather being safe than sorry, we're doing that on our own. And how many more people across the country are going to find themselves having to do this? And then possibly later time, maybe even finding out that you have got the virus. Because my buddy didn't think he had it, but he suddenly started feeling bad. And he went and got tested, and boom, he's now, has the virus.
Well, I'm thinking twice. I mean, we were at the Garden 2.5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, Bill and I. And there were thousands of people there, and it was just that was in the middle of the transition. It was just beginning to hit, and you're washing your hands, you're not shaking hands with people, and you're looking around and making sure no one's coughing near you. But I just wonder, going back once this thing is gone, are we ever going to go back to the crowded seats? I mean, you sit at the Boston Garden, and you're sitting on top of someone, and I don't know that I want to do that ever again.
Yeah, that's the thing. We were at a friend's house for a group dinner. There were eight of us 2.5 weeks ago. And, was that enough time in between that, we haven't developed any symptoms that we're all safe? Don't know. So you err, again, on the side of caution. My buddy had been in Florida 2 or 3 weeks prior to us seeing them, Florida has a whole lot of cases. Were they in an area, that they and they went down to the Keys, and mother was probably overly crowded, but you have a lot of people visiting this time of year.
Well,
so you don't know where everybody has been that they may have come in contact with, and it's just again, you just don't know.
Right, and I think
so you're more cautious. You walk around people, where you would never think of it before.
Right.
My neighbor went by walking his dog, and he used to come by several times a week for the dogs to play. I opened the window and just yelled and waved to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know walking down the sidewalk, it's the same thing. We all veer off. You go, the person on your left goes off, and you go the other way, and you give him a wide berth. But I think, Tim, since we're sort of combining sports and the emergency, that Governor Charlie Baker, I think, has stood tall, figuratively and literally, during this thing. I think when he came on a couple of weeks ago and set the right tone because of the confusion that was coming out of Washington, D.C., and I admire the work that the governors are doing. They're really, I think, doing the right thing, particularly Governor Baker and also Governor Cuomo. And Governor Baker, to me, is striking the right tone and saying, okay, you still have constitutional rights, but let's consider the outcome here. Let's consider the consequences. And I think he's done it in a very real, rational, and sane, sober manner that will help, hopefully, tamp this thing down.
Yeah, well, with the exception of several governors who sort of have aligned their line of thought with the man who sits in Washington, the governors have taken a sober, realistic, scientific approach to what is happening. And they're reacting responsibly for the citizens of their particular state. They're stating the facts. They're stating what people can see. They're relying upon medical advice. And they're using that to make their decisions, while also, as you mentioned, respecting the rights of the people, but also realizing, and you can go back to Star Wars, Spock saying to Kirk as he's dying, you know, the welfare of the good is more important than the one.
Well, didn't that go back
if you think you are sick, stay away from people.
Yeah. I mean, that goes
Don't
back
go into a large group.
That goes back to A Tale of Two Cities, I think. I mean, the one for the many, sacrifice the one for the many, and the many for the one, to help out. And I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but the other thing I was going to mention, and I totally lost my train of thought, except I think people. Oh, I know what it was. There are those, and this is my final thought on this, Tim. There are those, I think, particularly the lieutenant governor of Texas, who says that, you know, elderly should sacrifice and go ahead and die for the sake of the economy. And I do worry about the economy. I worry about the world economy, and I don't know how long it will take for the United States to get back economically. But I feel more confident about that than I do letting people die. I would rather see, you know, the economy, you know, hitch for a little bit, go on hold for a little bit, and see if we can get this thing back together again, get people back up and running, than I would see more people die. And there are people who don't agree with me. They'd rather see people die so the economy stays going.
Yeah, and that was the thought of the leader. Let's not make a big thing of this disease early on, because I don't, big business on me. We got to keep going. We got to keep working. You know, and so it was downplay the illness so we don't interrupt the flow of dollars into the bank accounts of these people, instead of taking it very seriously like South Korea did. I mean, South Korea has a great handle on it. Yeah, it's a smaller country, but what they did, the scale that they did it, has minimized the overall impact of the disease in that country. Had we done something similar, we'd be in a much better position right now, instead of seeing numbers going through the roof on a daily basis. You know, it just aggravates me knowing to get
all right, let's
going on it.
Let's change the subject.
Of responsible leadership that has come down to the states, and thank God we have the number of responsible, sane governors in this country that we do.
I agree. Let's change the subject here as we close it out, Tim. Last week we talked about Zion Williamson. We talked about Kevin Love. We talked about the owner of the Bruins, the cheapskate owner of the Bruins. But what about Drew Brees and his wife? Did you get that story?
Yeah, I did. And again, you know, Rick, it talks to the measure, not of the athlete. It talks to the measure of the man and the love that he has for the city that he plays for. And I found out something also, is that after the hurricane went through and the flood that came through, he and his wife moved in to New Orleans.
Wow.
They moved into the city,
mm-hmm,
and established themselves. He's going to be like sainted.
Oh, God, yeah. He,
when he retires
for those
from playing, for, no pun intended, when he's done playing for the football team, I mean, he can run for any state office he wants.
Oh, sure.
And just get it by acclamation. But to do what he's done, to respond to the citizens, to show that he is there, that he is one of them, and then to make that kind of singular donation, that just makes every owner in the NFL look cheap.
Yep. And,
every owner of every particular sports team in the country look cheap.
For those who don't know, Drew Brees and his wife donated $5 million to the relief effort in New Orleans, and a lot of that money going to the workers at the stadium there. $5 million from that athlete. And I know, yeah, he's got money, but, you know, who I haven't seen anybody match that yet. You're right, Tim. I mean, my admiration from him just went off the charts.
Yeah, and you know, and he's always been a classy individual on the field. We now know the limits of his class off the field. And men like Jeremy Jacobs should be ashamed. Whoever owns Aramac, I don't know if it's Jacobs or not, they should feel this great shame, which they don't, I know, because of what they've done to the workers at the Garden.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the good and the bad, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and there will be more stories. And I think as this thing progresses and we get past the apex, there will be more good stories than there are bad. And eventually we'll get back to sports. And we talked to some kids tonight, Tim. They're very, the kids have got a very positive attitude. They're very optimistic and upbeat. And again, you and I talked about this many times. They're going to save us from ourselves.
Yeah, I did hear all the interviews, and again the level of maturity that they display, just incredible. And their coaches, their teammates, their parents should be so proud of the their ability to convey their thoughts, just the thoughts themselves and their ability to express them. Was just tremendous. I want to congratulate all those young guys that you had on tonight for their representation of themselves, their school, and their families.
I'll second that. Tim, stay safe. Mediums, you and Mediums, stay safe, and no tests. Just don't get the thing. Just don't get it.
We haven't had any. We're both asymptomatic. You know, we both feel fine. It's just the precaution that, you know, we'd rather take than not take.
Yep, I got it. All right, Coach, we'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right, Rick.
Take care, Tim. That is Tim Kearns, our MSO sports analyst and our goodwill ambassador, and you can see why. Huh? He's got his sport. He's got his opinions politically. Okay, that's it for now. Thank you for joining us. Thank you so much to Bill Newell for talking with Dick Newton and to Jack Crowley and Duncan Moreland, Beverly High School basketball players, and, of course, Dick Newton, the director of athletics at Lynn English High School. My thanks to Ryan Sheehan, coach of Triton Hockey, who introduced me to his captain, Brad Killian. Great young man. We talked with him. Appreciate it. He's the leading scorer for Triton Hockey and Cape Ann League All-Star. And did I miss anybody? Oh, man. What about Gary Larrabee? Thanks for Gary for bringing us up to speed on the golf situation. That's it for this week. If you have any suggestions, opinions, complaints, whatever, you can send them along to msonewsports@gmail.com. On behalf of Bill Newell, Jim Kearns, our producer, Paul Poskey, I'm Rick Moore. Stay safe and do the right thing.